exporting for Windows Mobile, I guess. That's why John asked me to do this. So, yeah, you kind of have to know how to do WinMo testing. Some of you have done it before, obviously. Brent spent a fair bit of time. I think some of you guys have done like little helping us out when we had crunches. But yeah, this is just supposed to be like a quick primer on how to actually do it. So the good thing is you guys have some MIDP devices now that are a bit more like common WinMo phones, like stuff that flips, stuff with touch screens. That's like half of our devices, so just pays to know what to do with that. So there are only like really a few big differences between WinMo and MIDP. Almost all of our installing goes via desktop instead of over the air. We just use Microsoft ActiveSync, and it basically just lets you plug in your phone. It shows up as a drive on your computer, and you just drag stuff onto it. So that's, if anything, I think easier. Yeah, flipping and touchscreen are key. They happen all the time. We right now have just one build for every single device, so you just drop it on and it should work on everything. That's probably going to change to like high-res versus not high-res devices soon, but I also don't know what the porting is going to be like for WinMo for reference porting, so I would assume it's still going to be one build for all. We've also got a program called Pocket Controller that basically does like device anywhere except not over the internet, so not horrible. But it's kind of cool because devices with touchscreens, you can just move the mouse around and click. You can record snapshots and videos and stuff like that really, really easily. You can use it to script things, to do quick and easy automated testing if you want to. We don't really do that too much, but. And there are a bunch of buttons on a lot of WinMo phones that have external functions, like cameras, opening email, volume adjustment. I don't know how many MIDP phones still have it, probably most of them, but we've got like weird buttons, like a lot of phones have a button called OK, that its only function is if a Windows window is open and it has an OK in it, pressing this button on your phone is the same as touching it on your screen. So inexplicably in some of our games, that button also raises the volume. That kind of stuff comes up a lot. And we've got...
Is it a fixable issue or is it...
Usually, yeah. There are some issues, though, where, like, there are other external buttons, like some Palm Trios have an Alt key. When you push it, it brings up a Windows window that, like, lets you select alternate characters, like the foreign language accented characters and stuff. But if an application is open, that still forces its way to the foreground, but not always. So one of the bigger things in WinMo is often like you actually have to press every button in a bunch of different contexts to see what it's doing. And sometimes while holding down shift or function or whatever its equivalent is on the phone. So,
do you guys have a test button that covers this?
Yeah. So, and related to that actually is the fact that within Windows Mobile, pressing the N key is on the application level, pretty much the same as accepting a phone call or any other kind of interrupt. So once you've done your like basic checks of like, yeah, I can receive a phone call, a text message, whatever, every other sort of interrupt testing can just be done by end, resume, which is, I find, a lot easier than trying to do all that stuff with phone calls being timed properly and splash screens and stuff. So those are kind of the main differences that I notice, but I mean, it's, I think, even pretty obvious once you actually start testing on it. And all of you guys are pretty well experienced by this point. So you definitely have to do it a little bit. But frankly, like the number of issues we found with phone call testing has been really, really small. And I've never seen a difference between a phone call coming in and pressing the end key in the same place. If there's going to be one, it'll happen with both. And as far as the programmers have ever been able to tell, as far as the application is concerned, it's the exact same kind of interrupt. So, once you at least know that phone call interrupts are working or not working in one way, you should be able to always reproduce it the same way with the end key. So,
does the end key function the same on all the devices? Because I know in my queue, if I hit end, it minimizes basically.
Yeah.
Not like, do you want to quit?
Yeah, all WinMo phones it minimizes immediately. So.
So the game should pause and go through the regular.
Yeah.
So it's as if we press end and then yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, end and then no.
Or whatever, like the MIDP ones, end and then exit or whatever, or sorry, suspend.
Suspend or no, yeah.
Yeah. But it's at least standard on Windows Mobile. There are a couple of phones that have their own like skins over the default Windows skin, but it's pretty consistent the way it actually handles everything. So again, kind of makes it a little easier in some ways. So the actual process of testing it is pretty straightforward. You just need ActiveSync installed. We just grab the CAD file from Flow, just like I guess you guys kind of do with your JARs and JADs. But all you have to do is drop that CAD file onto the device. We usually just put it into My Documents because it's really easy to find. And you then have to just open up File Explorer on the device, and it's almost always looking right at that folder. Click on the CAD file, it installs, and then you can just find it in the games folder. So pretty much the same, again, as J2ME stuff, just without the over-the-air stuff.
How's it going to work with device sharing? I was thinking of putting on a queue on the floor.
Yeah. We've got a cabinet in the office that Stefan and I are in with all the Winmo devices. I've got a suggested list of what I think are probably the best five or six devices for reference porting to be done on, because it'll cover all the major categories. And plus, we have duplicates of all of them. So, we only ever have like two functioning versions of any given handset. But hopefully, you guys won't need them all that often.
So in Flow, you only have one target?
Yeah.
How do you keep track of like how many bugs are coming?
Yeah, it's not elegant right now. It's basically like if we have something that say passes on all phones except this one where it's got a showstopper bug. Generally, someone has to make a call on, are we going to ship it on everything except this, or are we going to wait until this issue is fixed and then you pass or fail and flow as appropriate.
Do you usually have like a generic testing for it onto gig? Proper channel?
Yeah, we've got a channel called Generic Non-Trial.
Okay.
So everything that comes through to us is tested in GNT first, and then once that's done, the various pre-procs are turned on for DRM, more games links, trials, and things like that. So
are we just doing the reference port testing, and then it goes like to you guys, or?
It would work as if you were using the object, it wouldn't match up. And you'll get ridiculous stuff like if a device has a back button, sometimes they don't function like a back button in every application, but a back space key on a full keyboard does. And yeah, so all of those individual key presses are really important, really tedious to test. But
are they documented test line as well?
Yeah. At least there are test cases for it, right? Like every key has an expected function. Every key functions that way when you hold down Alt or Shift or function or whatever. It's assumed that if you're going to pass that test case, you've actually pressed all of the keys in all of those cases. So that's important. Flipping things is really important. None of our builds anymore will say this can only be run in portrait or landscape or anything. They're all expected to be able to flip on the fly. Some of them will do things like, I don't know if you guys have played Peggle, but it's a game where you've got, if you flip the device in mid-shot, you're shooting a ball with some sort of velocity and trajectory, and it's got to recalculate all of that on the fly. It takes a few seconds, so there's like a little progress bar while it figures that out, and then you get the game again. Other games, it'll just immediately flip, and you'll just be back looking at cribbage or whatever.
Are there like minimum load times and stuff that people watch out for? Like, it's flip it, they get most 5 seconds to flip, or anything.
It's subjective right now. If it seems to take a painfully long time and you wonder if it's frozen, okay. Generally, yeah. If it takes more than 5 seconds, that's been our rough guideline on it. But it's not in any external test plans that we've seen or carrier requirements, so we've just been using a does it hurt to do. If so, can we make it faster? So,
To do less, like,